Hey, what's
Hey.
up?
Wow.
That's your
Yeah, I
seatbelt
like
on
that.
too. You drive.
What's up, my son?
Ooh,
How are you one? How are you
how
one? Look at that.
are you, my son? Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Hey.
Why you got your seatbelt on? You driving right now?
I had to pull over. I was doing errands. I Ralph, you sent me this thing late.
I know it was my fault. I didn't send the link until
Like
just now.
maybe
I had trouble.
pull a oh, just kidding. So I was like, oh, maybe I can get these errands done real quick, and maybe
Yeah.
by 4:30. So
I want to put you under pressure because you're always just sitting back chilling with the interviews. We want to give you a little pressure today. That's all.
Well, no, Ralph, because everybody talking about the COVID-15, but Marco's talking about he got his body fat down to 2% or something like that.
Yes, this dude is really hitting it. As a matter of fact, I was talking some shit to him the other day because I was like, dude, you put videos up of you running, you're showing me up. I do my pad work and you're over there running marathons. I'm really happy for him though. He's really hitting it. You're looking good.
Lost 11 pounds so far on a good day. Yeah, what else is there to do? I guess during this time, just you got to work on yourself and productive. And I noticed too, with everybody staying inside, it's kind of driving everybody a little nuts. So it's good to go outside for a little bit. It helps clear your mind and all that.
CC Marcos and I we met in Vegas at the lobby bar at the MGM Grand. I had seen him from the old Boxing Channel interviews, and I see he was a kid when he started this, and I kind of was picking his brain, and I couldn't believe his story. Marcos, real quick, and I know that we could sit here all day and talk about that, but can you just give the fans that don't really know where you came from, a brief synopsis of what you've done? Because your story is pretty remarkable, man.
Well, I started doing this 10 years ago, and it was honestly it was an accident. I kind of just fell into it. They threw me on camera one time, and the people that threw me on camera said hey, you actually didn't do that bad of a job. And from there, I kept doing it because I didn't have anything else to do. I was on unemployment. Went on unemployment for 2 years while building up Fight Hub. On top of that, I started getting odd jobs, and I didn't make any money from doing any of this till maybe 3, 4, maybe even 5 years in. So imagine doing a job for free for 3 to 5 years,
Day in a
building
job, that's
your
something that you love.
career. And then from there, things kind of just started rolling. Don't worry, we lost my son for
I'm here. I'm here, Daddy. I'm here.
yeah.
You see
his name, his lower third there. It says Ralph's
Yeah,
father,
that's
Marcos.
why I told him I owe him one. I'm gonna get his ass right now. Yeah.
I'm Ralph's papi. So
Oh, look at Mercedes. Marcos, like Godfather. That's right. Yeah, that's
I'm Ralph's
right.
papi. No, but yeah, after that, I hooked up with Al Bernstein. I asked him for a job, and he actually told me no when he was with the Boxing Channel. And he told me I still needed to work on a few things to improve. And I
Like
did.
what?
Shoot. I was very raw back then. I'll be honest. I asked good questions, but I wasn't polished. And I think a lot of that stuff you learn to be polished is you need someone to tell you those things, that has done it before, or you need to go to school for, broadcast journalism. I never went to school for broadcast journalism, so all the stuff that I learned was on the job or through mentors like Al, Ron Iacovetti, who was a play-by-play guy in MMA many years ago, Steve Farhood, guys like that really said, hey, Marcos, you're saying too much, or you're not getting to the point, or you're not. Your intros are too long, cut it, get to the point, or you're not making a suave transition. Little things like that that they tell me, I'd write it down and then I'd look back at my work and be like, oh shit, they have a point. I got to cut this out of my interviews. And I think that's a hard thing for a lot of broadcasters that are coming up, and even in general, because I talk to people that work for Fox that tell me, hey, I never look at my stuff, you know, and I'm like, why? And they're like, I can't look at myself, or I don't like the way I sound. I know it's hard for some people to do that, but I think, you know, it serves as a good way to like improve of things and to get better in general. So, you know, stuff like that helped me out a lot. And after that, you know, I randomly contacted Al about the Mayweather-Ortiz press conference and asked him, hey, it's in LA. Do you guys need any help? By chance, I'll be there anyways. And I was like, yeah, actually, we do. And that opened up a lot of doors for me working with Al in the time that I spent with the Boxing Channel. I want to say like 5-6 years I spent with them. And during that time, my YouTube channel started growing like exponentially a lot. So when things didn't work out with the Boxing Channel, they were going just a completely different direction and they were cutting funding on everything. But I had the YouTube channel finally was doing well at making enough where I could hire people and pay my way to the events. And that's a short, condensed version. You know, there's a lot of heartache, a lot of heartbreak, a lot of lost friends, a lot of sacrifices, a lot of lost relationships on the way to get there. But that's like the condensed version.
Why boxing?
Well, believe it or not, I started off in MMA first, you know? Yeah, I started off in MMA first because I was doing work for an MMA company. And I just kind of thought, okay, with the name, with Fight Hub, you know, that's the other thing. When I came up with the name, I didn't want to pigeonhole myself to one thing just in case, you know? I was already like, hey, if it's a hub, that means it includes everything. So, you know, one day I thought, well, I need more content. I need more experience. I'm only able to go to the UFC gyms at this point. I'm not getting credentialed yet. And this was very early on. Well, why not try boxing? You know, you like it. You've always liked it. See how that works out. And, you know, at that time, YouTube was not in its infancy, but it was still very, very a new platform where it was kind of like anything goes. And there was a lot of people still not knowing what the heck to do on YouTube. I just happened to be starting it at the right time because at that time there wasn't a lot of content for MMA fans. There wasn't a lot of content for boxing fans. So I fulfilled a niche there that fans wanted. So you know, I got lucky in that because it's a lot harder now to face.
Yeah, so you in the house, just like everybody else right now, watching boxing or in MMA. Comparing the two, UFC and what we've seen with Top Rank, any kind of best practices you think one should apply to the other in terms of the broadcast? I think quality-wise, they've both been pretty good. I actually think they've both been excellent, but maybe there's some other things that you're able, because you actually, when you're calling, well, not calling the fights, but when you're doing the live scorecards, you're part of the broadcast, so you have a different perspective from inside of the bubble.
Yeah, you know, I think in terms of ESPN, they do a superb job. Everybody there, a pro, like grade A pro, they put on a very, very good broadcast. I think the only comment I would make on that is it's difficult to call a fight and score a fight at the same time because you have so many things going on at once. And I know they use Andre to score the fights. He gets it right a lot, but it's really, really hard to call a fight and keep in mind the work that both the fighters are doing, because when you're calling a fight, you're looking for other things and sometimes you lose track of things. So, you know, it impresses me every time that he does that. But it is very, very difficult. Sometimes you do lose track of things and you can't get a card that's a little bit different than the vast majority of people watching, because your role there is an analyst, and then you're blending it in with someone scoring the fight. So now my hat's off to him, because he's for the most part, Andre gets it pretty right. And that's impressive, because when we do our local cards, DJ, I don't do the scoring, and like sometimes I'll lose track of like what the guy did like 3 rounds prior, you know? and that's a job of a person scoring the fight. Like when I'm scoring for Fox, I'm like 110% like focused on like every single little punch that's landing and everything like that, you know, so I don't miss anything. So people at home aren't angry at me and they attack me on Twitter saying I don't know how to score a fight. So yeah, I would say the only thing that obviously MMA doesn't have somebody who scores a fight. It's only three rounds. They tried it before in the past with Eddie Bravo, but I guess, you know, it's something unique to boxing.
Do you feel that your job as an official scorer for such a huge platform, which congratulations, by the way, do you feel that it causes a rift between the people that you've already interviewed or that you plan on interviewing? Do you have anything like maybe another card or a week later or another big fight later? Hey, you know, why did you have me with that score? Or, hey, you gave me that ninth. You gave that ninth round to my opponent. Do you ever get that from anybody that you have to mention any names, but you know, do you have that issue with somebody giving you flack from scoring, you know, your honest opinion on a fight?
Yeah, it's happened to me, and it sucks, obviously, because I do wonder sometimes with some of the guys that are a little bit more emotional than others, how that's going to bleed into the stuff I get when I'm not scoring a fight. I've had fighters approach me either right after the event or a few weeks after the event and be like, hey, man, like, how'd you see it? Or why did you score it that way? I haven't had a fighter say, you didn't score it for me. I'm not going to give you an interview. But I've noticed just on their language, their facial expressions, that they hold some sort of, I know it's not permanent resentment, but they do hold some sort of resentment, like, this fucking guy, like, So, you know, it sucks, and it's something that I had no idea about it, and I wasn't warned about it when Farhood told me early on about it. He said, prepare for people to tweet at you and say that you don't know what the hell you're looking at. And, you know, prepare for that. But I didn't know it was going to be the fighters also. You know? So that was kind of like okay, like, this is not a – and even now, like, with close fights, I still have that thought in the back of my mind, like, ah, great. I'm going to have to interview these guys. And, like, okay, I'll give you an example. Like, there's one fight where they were mad about a score. Someone lost who a majority of people felt should have won. So I'm there in the scrum, and their manager goes, you scored it on TV. You had him winning. Tell him your score. And I was like, this is not, I'm not in that role right now. Like,
right.
I want to be fair to both sides. Like, I'm just like, well, yeah, on TV, I saw it this way, you know, because that's how I saw it. But yeah, and it's going to continue to happen, I'm pretty sure, you know. So yeah, let's just see how it shakes out.
Yeah, I've seen you literally go from the table ringside and shooting back to go and grab the interview. Of all the many fighters that you've talked to, and you've talked to just about anybody, you know, of any kind of recognition and folks who are coming up, anybody you feel like is misunderstood? Maybe if you think their public persona is one thing and you wish that people knew kind of what you know about another fighter?
Huh, that's a good question. I got to think. If you're thinking of like someone comes off one way and they're not really like that.
Mm-hmm. In Connor, a good way. Because you know, some come off as good ways.
Connor, during the Mayweather-McGregor press tour, there was times where I was in backstage areas where Connor was there and there wasn't any cameras on him. And he was normal. He was a normal person. And then as soon as he saw a camera in his vicinity, his chest puffed up and like it was on. So like, I kind of noticed that, like, oh, okay. He turns it on for the cameras. You know, he's not always like that 24/7.
And in some respects they have to do that. They are selling $54 to $74 tickets to events. That is part of their job, and no one is going to want to buy a ticket to someone they're not interested in. So you got to make them interested in a fight.
No, yeah, that's true. You know, it's part of their job to sell them. And like, it's, that's part of his gimmick too, though. That's kind of like who he is, you know, like,
notorious.
Yeah. People are tuning in to see persona, to see him. For the most part, I think everybody that I've interviewed on camera is pretty much like themselves off camera. You know, sometimes it's kind of like the wrestling effect, you know, the wrestler, they tell him like, hey, be who you are, but pump it up times 10, you know, like whatever your personality is, exaggerate it times 10. And I think when it comes to interviews with some guys, they are like that, but because they know they're on camera, they know they got to sell tickets. They know that people like, you know, sexy headlines and funny sound bites. They you know, they exaggerate. And, you know, it's the fight game. Who doesn't talk ish? Like when it comes to the fight games, like if people talk ish playing video games. Me and Ralph talk ish to each other.
Oh, you know? I talk shit to him daily. He talks shit to me daily. You know,
like,
it's
kinda, like, you know, it's part of the game and all that. But for the most part, I've never met, or it's been very, very few fighters that I've ever interviewed or covered that have ever been rude or just real dickholes in real life. It's I can't even name more than five, honestly. And it's probably like one or two out of like 11 years that I could say that they were kind of rude, you know?
Part of going to the events is, for me, not only getting to be in the ring working, but to see you guys, to see the reporters, to see, you know, the timekeepers, everybody that you just become accustomed to seeing, and the interviews. I had a chance to work with you here in Phoenix, and I appreciate that opportunity. But the cool thing is for you guys is that
your dad,
you get to go and you get to see these fighters, you get to develop a relationship with them. You have great interviews, person to person, and now we're accustomed to watching each other on screen through phones, tablets, computers because of what's happening. Are you a big fan of this? Do you think it's easier for you to get work done? Or do you really wish that you can go back to, because your strong suit, to be honest with you, I like, is that you're real personable with people, especially your real dad, Bob Arum. You're really close to that guy and you guys have great interviews. Like, it's not the same to me, and I talked to CeCe about it. I love this format for us, but it's just, there's nothing like being there with the mic and actually seeing these guys in person.
Like how we're having a conversation now, like we could have the same conversation in person. Like, you know, to me, it's the same. I've done a few interviews on Zoom already, and it's the same. I talk to them the same way, and I get the same stuff out of them. Obviously, in-person interaction for anything is always better, you know? But I don't think it's going to make that huge of a difference in terms of getting a good interview, you know? You can still pick up on people's energy over this, you know? But yeah, it might be a little bit, but no, like right now, like if it was done in person, or as opposed to now, we'd still be talking and interacting the same way, you know? It is different. Like, I would rather be somewhere in person just because I'm tired of being at home, you know, back to work. But I understand what's going on, and I understand, you know, you got to adapt with what's happening, you know?
Correct.
And this is the way, I guess, we got to do these things for the foreseeable future. But, you know, I, of course, I think you ask anybody, like, they would rather be on site doing these things as opposed from doing it at home, even though, you know, doing it at home, you could do your interviews or whatever, no, which I won't say if I've done that or not, but yeah.
You probably have, but, you know.
Don't lie to your father. So, Top Rank has been the first one out for boxing, and we know that Mayweather is coming up. We're going to see some other PBC fighters as well. We just talked to David Benavidez, who's thinking it's going to be August sometime for him. But there are going to be some guys who maybe we haven't heard of along the way getting the shot because of frankly, just how the dollars work out. They can't pay, you know, Deontay Wilder right now to come out when there's not going to be a live gate. Last night we saw Gabriel Flores, who is being set up to be something special. We're going to see Navarrete tomorrow. I think he's going to be on. Any other names coming up that you think that we're going to see on some of these early cards without fans that people should be interested and excited about?
Well, I know Fox is planning a show at the end of July with Jamal James and Thomas Cormier, I think in LA or either Vegas. That's already been out there, so I could say that and not get in trouble. And then like Luis Neri is going to fight like the week after that. I don't know if that's going to be at. I think all the fights that got canceled before this happened, we're going to see go first. And then after that, I don't think we're going to see like the main star attraction, because obviously they're pay-per-view fighters, and that might get a little weird with. At the end of the day, it's going to come down to them, a personal decision, you know? If they're not so much take a cut money, but because there's no fans, that's a big chunk out of the pot normally there for them, you know? So it's like with, like, TV, the TVs, they all have budgets for every fight, you know? They can't go over their budget. They have a budget of, like, $3 million. You know, and a normal fighter usually gets, you know, $2 million guaranteed plus the revenue and pay. Well, obviously, they can't do that with network. That's why they go on pay-per-view. So for the mid-card guys or those guys that are just on the cusp of a title shot, and even for, like, the upcoming guys, this is going to be really good for them, you know, because we're going to get to see them. Like I saw yesterday with Gabe Flores and that Clay Collard guy. That beat Kaminsky.
People better stop sleeping on Clay.
Oh, dude, I love that.
I'm gonna call him Clay.
I saw him fight live in Biloxi when he beat Wardado, and I was like, I had a great time watching him fight because I was like, oh my god, this white kid could fight. Holy Jesus,
he likes to throw,
yeah, you know, and that was hell. And even when I found out he was fighting yesterday. That's when I started going on Twitter and be like, dude, like, don't count this guy out. This guy, like, the moment someone else starts throwing down, he starts throwing down too. And it's like, he went 3 rounds with Max Holloway. Like, that says something about how tough you are.
Yeah. Also,
well, you know, but, you know, obviously a lot of boxing guys, fans of him, like, obviously you are, you know about Max and all that. And like an MMA fighter timing is so weird when they convert to boxing and everything, right. Like, you know, but yeah, give me more of him. He like the third upset he's had, but yeah, overall, I would say don't expect these big name guys. I think, or if you do, like, don't expect the fights to happen like quick. I know that the UFC is able to do pay-per-views, but the boxing pay-per-views are a completely different thing because of economics. So we might have to wait a little bit longer for these fights. I hope not, but we might.
For now, it's like chicken soup for the boxing soul. Like, I'm a watch. Like, it all ain't great, but it's good for my soul to see it. Late last year, we were all kind of, a lot of folks were panning the DAZN cards with the YouTubers, which I still think was ridiculous. But do you feel like boxing needs to do kind of some more, like, exhibition things to get people to look at the sport, especially now when there's a downtime to maybe grow the fan base? I mean, DAZN is struggling right now. You think they're going to come back? Like, Marcos, you're going to fight? Who was it that challenged you? Somebody challenged you.
They did? I didn't even see that. Don't challenge me? Who challenged me?
Probably Mario Lopez. Mario Lopez would be a good fight. No, I'm just saying. That'd be a good fight. You know, and Mario.
Maybe Ralph. Maybe you and your pops. Oh.
Nah, it was they put a poster of me and Ray up. Yeah. That's what they did.
I can't hit myself. Supposed to do that? That's child abuse. No, but if you're asking me if I think like they should keep doing the YouTube fights, like,
for now, I'm seeing in this time when like the sport is down a little bit,
because at this time people want real sports. Like, boxing fans want competitive fights. Like, that was a gripe that a lot of people had about the Shakur Stevenson card, that they weren't competitive fights, that Shakur was in there with a guy that, like, shouldn't have been there with him. And then Top Rank gave us the next card, like, a pretty well-balanced card.
Yeah, it was a good card.
You know, people want balanced competitive fights, high-level stuff. The UFC is doing a phenomenal job with competitive high-level fights. Yeah, economics are different. The pay structure is different than in boxing. But I think during this time where there could be potentially more eyes to the sport, you need real fights, competitive fights. And I think if they were to put a YouTube fight on again, like during this time, like people would flip out. A lot of people would watch. But I think like the boxing people would flip out again a bit more because they especially if it was the zone, just be like, look, you haven't put content out in months, okay? Fights out in months, and the first fight you're coming back with is like a YouTube fight. Like, nah. The only thing I say to that is you can't blame the YouTubers. They're getting paid a ridiculous amount of money. They would never get an opportunity to do that, and no one's gonna turn down a great opportunity, you know. So.
The gate was sick too. The LA was packed. That fight was packed, the last one. I mean, the rafters. Crazy.
Well, not to the rafters, but it was pretty packed. I was there.
Oh, that's right. You were there.
Yeah.
It was weird because
it was close to
what's up?
It was close from the windows to the walls.
Close.
Yeah, that clears up. It was packed. It was packed, but it was just weird because when you go to a fight, normally the bar is like packed at whatever arena it is. And everybody there was so young that the bar was actually open, like closed. Not closed, but like it was empty because everybody was like 11, 12, 13, 14 there in the arena, which was funny. Yeah, that fight tripped. It was weird. Really, really weird.
Hey, you guys, we were talking with Marcos Villegas of Fight Hub TV. Also can see him on Fox scoring some of the fights. We're going to hopefully we'll see you sooner rather than later on one of these cards in maybe late July or August. Anything else you've got coming up or you want people to know to follow you?
Yeah, just go ahead and go to all the people that are living. If you don't know already, subscribe to my YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/FightHub. Or like on a YouTube search, just type Fight Hub TV. We got just content, loads of content for the boxing fan on the daily, really. Follow us on social media at Fight Hub TV. Give me a follow as well at Hey, it's Marcos V. Hopefully one of these shows that we have in LA, I get to go back to work. That's what I'm just hoping that. With MMA, they're allowing me, but not with boxing yet, you know? So I just hope that they open it up, boxing soon to be able to, I guess, to kind of, sort of, in a way, get back to work.
Yeah, and I just want to say, UFC card, it's a 20-hour day, my friend, so.
Yeah, CC been through it. It's pretty crazy. And I just want to say, Marcos, I know that we go back and forth talking a lot of shit, but I want to tell you that truly from my side of things and coming in, starting from basically doing cards with 100 people in it, you came from basically on your own. And I want to congratulate you for what you've been able to do with Fight Hub. I know you have big plans still for that format. You're barely beginning, folks. When I tell you he's barely beginning, he is barely beginning. This man is going to be on a mission to make it a worldwide, even bigger than what it is. And we got to commend you for it, man. We're really proud of you. So keep going.
I appreciate that. Really kind words from you. And, you know, thank you for having
me. Watch it. I know it's coming. Watch it, boy.
Knuckleheads.
All right, Marcos. We'll see you, bro. Thank you very much, man.
Thank you.
Later, man. Later. Bye. Talk to you soon.